introduction. For those of you who are relatively new, you may not know Scott. Scott and I go way back. First time we met was on a baseball team when he was 12 and I was 11. And then we went to high school together. I went to college together. Got saved around the same time. I went to the same local church, went to the Grace Institute of Biblical Studies together. We've camped together, and now our kids have married each other. So it's just funny how this all works out. Scott was part of EBC for 20-some years. About 6 years ago, he chose to left and become the director of the Seward Seamen's Mission in Seward, Alaska, and he ministers to seafarers throughout the shipping season, which runs from April to the end of September. And he also has historically gone to Myanmar for about 15 years or so, and he was privileged to do that with Mike here just recently. And so he's going to come up and give us an update on both those things. And so we're privileged to have Scott come up and teach us the Word of God and share with us what's going on. So come on up. You can wear this one or this one, whatever you feel like. Yeah, over again.
Thank you. Mike and I just got back from Southeast Asia, so I will say Minglaba. That's hello in Burmese, Minglaba. It's no accent on the end, Minglaba. So you want to try that? Minglaba. Ah, very good. Yeah. If you're from the Kachin tribe, which this is a gift from them for being a part of their conference, that would be Kajai. Kajai. And if you're from the Lisu, it would be Hwahwa. And if you're from U.S., it's hello. So take your pick. But I would like to first of all start out with a huge thank you. I walked in, I saw the prayer boards out there and the indications for Alaska and for Myanmar. I just want to say thank you to those of you who pray. Mike and I basically rode a magic carpet of prayer while we were in Myanmar. We sensed the strength, we sensed the wisdom, and I was wondering, how can I illustrate this? It's like a magic carpet of prayer when people are praying for you because it carries you along. And you don't really see it, you sense it, and you see God open doors and close doors and so forth. So I just want to say a great thank you and also for the financial support to go to Myanmar as your church, IBC, supports Samuel. And I see he and Dorcas and his son's pictures out front. And they really are soldiers for Jesus Christ. They're fellow laborers in the gospel. They're servants of God Almighty. And Samuel and I have known each other for 16 years, and we're very close brothers. Pastor Sean knows him, and now Mike's words are, he is really sharp, and we want to support him. Wouldn't that? I remember Mike saying that several times. So this morning, I'd like to share some things, but I don't want to just show up here and show some pictures and some stories. I want to get into the Word of God. You come to church to hear the Word of God. So if you would, let's open to Isaiah chapter 55 to start with. And I have this little phrase up here, don't go rogue. I was on the airplane from Seattle to Beijing, I think, or from Beijing to Chicago. I can't remember which one. Everything somewhat melts together. And I saw a action movie that I watched, and it was about a CIA agent, and he was accused of going rogue. So going rogue is independence. Going rogue is outside the authority. Going rogue is doing it your own way. And so I thought, that's it. I don't want to go rogue. And I'm kind of a simpleton in a lot of ways. If I can keep it simple and think through it the same way every day, I put my clothes out at night, I know my routine in the morning, I don't want to have to get up every morning and think, now what am I going to do? I'm going to change my routine. No, I'm going to either take a shower, shave, eat, brush my teeth, have a cup of coffee, and get out the door. I want my clothes laid out and those things. Don't go rogue is a new thought my own self.
And I don't want to go outside of God's authority, outside of God's Word, outside of God's will. I want to stay in that good and acceptable and perfect will. So it helps me to think, okay, Scott, today, don't go rogue. Isaiah 55, I'd like to start in verse 8. And God is laying out the importance of His Word here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I have a little drawing on the side of my Bible here. The heavens are so high, and God's wisdom and word is so high that it has no comparison with my thoughts, no comparison with my ways. So it's my responsibility to bring my thoughts up to His thoughts, my ways up to His ways, by His grace, through His Spirit, as I live by faith, but not to try and bring God down to me. And so to go rogue would be go outside of His Word, His high ways, His high thoughts, His perfect will for the life of His servant, Scott, and Sean threw in there, Russell Johnson. You can tell he knows me well, but anyways. The Lord's ways are the best. Verse 10. Here's the illustration. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth. They provide a replenishment and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. My wife and I presently live in Seward, Alaska. They had the earthquake in Anchorage. Thank you for those of you who prayed for us, thinking we might be up there. We had a lot of Facebook messages and emails and things. Are you okay? Well, we're here. And Seward didn't have any damage, but north of their Anchorage, 120 miles, they had quite a bit of damage. But we live in a rainforest in Alaska. And it's easy to go, oh man, raining again. I went there with one raincoat. I presently have five, and I'm asking for another one for Christmas. So that made six. Oh, no, that's right. I gave one to Samuel, so I'm back down to five. But my point is, in a rainforest, the rain provides a nourishment, and we need it. There is an abundance of water for the salmon. The salmon bring the bears. The bears bring the tourists and the whales and everything else, and it all works together for good. And if you don't have that replenishment, you're not going to have life. We live literally on a planet of death. Because since Adam and Eve in the garden and they sinned against God, they went rogue. When they went rogue, death came, and death has been passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so here on earth, we try and get as much as we can out of this planet of death. But God says, no, 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 my ways are better and higher. My thoughts and words are better and higher. Come and be nourished by my truth, by my word. Jump a little bit to your left to Psalm 19, please. It's a very familiar verse, Psalm 19. And it says the value of God's Word. And the reason I thought I would couch our comments today in the Word of God is that Mike and I saw the power of the Word of God firsthand when we went to Myanmar. And in verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7 says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Now remember, these are those high words. These are those lofty ways of God. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting my soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simpleton," like Scott. "And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether." And here's the application, Scott. "More to be desired are they than the riches of this world." In Alaska, there's a lot of gold mining. Some of you might get cable TV or Dish TV, and you see these programs of them we've got a guy in our local church up there who $38,000 he got in the creeks just north of Seward in one winter. $38,000. But the Word of God is more to be desired than the flakes and the nuggets and the reflection of that gold. More to be desired are they than gold? Yes. Than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. The most sweet sugar known or sweetness to man at this time was honey. And he says, God's word can be sweeter than honey. We saw some people say, Romans, oh, that tastes good. They had never heard a verse-by-verse book taught ever in this church that we went to. And we heard that some churches had never taught a verse-by-verse message before. Can you take a gasp? Are you kidding me? No, just topical, verse-plucking here and there. Your mind and my mind have the most difficult time of assimilating and putting together the Word of God so it's comprehensible and then livable without a verse-by-verse teaching. And so they said to us, I've never understood Romans like this before. This is so good. Would you come back? Would you come back two or three times next year? That was the response. It's sweet. Verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, that's the negative, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So let's use my title here. Don't go rogue because there's great reward. Don't go rogue because there's great sweetness and blessing by following that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there's maybe almost 100 people in here, maybe 80 or 90. And you know what? God's will for each and every one of you is different than it is for me. And your role was to support from back home, Mike and I, and we thank you for that. And so what we'll share today really is about a unity of a purpose and striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so God's will isn't always to go. Sometimes it's to stay and support and to strengthen and to pray. Here's one of familiar verses. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. We know that it is alive. We know that it's powerful, it's sharp, but you must take it and make it a part of your thinking. In other words, every time the Word of God is preached, my hope is that I'll say, yes, amen, I believe that. I want that to be my conviction, Lord. Then there's the reward. Then there's the blessing to it. Your words were found, Jeremiah said, and I ate them. Now, the Word of God can go right here, go in this ear and out the other, and never take residence. I have seen local church, and Pastor Sean said 20 years, is actually 33 years in Duluth Bible Church before we went to Alaska. And I've seen people come and sit for years, and I'll dialogue with them, and I'm thinking, did we go to the same church? Did you listen to the messages? We think so differently. And the Word of God, though, is designed so that I think like God, you think like God, and together we have this great camaraderie or fellowship with God and with each other. 1 John chapter 1. And it must be eaten. In other words, I heard this afternoon we're going to have some chili if you're part of the choir. And so I'm not part of the choir, but I think I'm going to hang around long enough to eat some, if they'll let me. But if I don't eat that, that chili does nothing except go in my nostril and salivate me a little bit, and then it doesn't benefit me at all. But you taste it and you say, that's good, Lord. Right there in my marriage. Right there in my peace. Right there in my bitterness. Right there in my hope. Right there in my struggles. You say, trials are good for me, Lord. I hate trials, but thank you anyways, Lord. And I'm trusting you through them. Because on the other side, you'll use it. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, I'm going to skip that, and I ate them, okay? Doesn't make sense. Your words were found, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Not until you take it. In fact, the New Testament says, hold fast the Word of God. Hold fast the truth. This world is knocking us all over the place. Every day, it's throwing curveballs. I heard a story of a believer who lived in Nashwauk, and when he was a kid, he came up behind a police officer, whipped the snowball right in the back of his head, knocked the hat off. The guy chased him, caught him underneath a car, dragged him out, threw him into his house, and said to his mother, "Here's your kid." That was in the 1960s. Wouldn't happen today, would it? The neighbor would be out there with his cell phone taking it, turning you in. But my point is the Word of God can keep us from following a rogue way, an independent, self-seeking, and or self-serving way. But you take it, you make it a part of yourself, and you then receive the joy and rejoicing of it. Would you turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3? If you know the Bible fairly well, you'll know 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the importance of the Word of God. And here, Paul is these are his last words. And Paul is saying to Timothy, value the Word of God. Now, the Kachin Baptist Association, Biblical Baptist Association, is the organization or the group that we ministered to. Never have ministered to them before in Myanmar. This was a wide open door, and I'll share the story in a little bit. But when we got there, they had a high regard for the Word of God, which I was very thankful for. And with that value, they had a legitimate response to saying, that Word of God is precious, which you shared with us. And we were able to make it so real they could understand it and actually incorporate it into their thinking. Here's one more. As newborn babes, the command is desire the pure milk of the Word. That's the command here. The illustration is little babies want their mother's milk. You choose to desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You may have spiritual blessing, benefit, and maturity. Well, here Paul is writing to Timothy in verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. So, when we come in contact with the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the Gospel, the truth of God's high, lofty thoughts and words, we must continue in these. Now, that's by grace, through faith, in the power of the Holy Spirit, but we continue. That's our human responsibility. But you must continue, Timothy, in the things which you have learned and been assured of, your convictions, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you, here's a benefit, wise for salvation. The Word of God will lead us to Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He's the only means of salvation, both justification, sanctification, and glorification through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are declared righteous before God. We're given eternal life. We are born again. And Paul is saying to Timothy, you know you've learned this from childhood. You have understood this. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's the source, way up high, and is profitable. It means beneficial. It means helpful for teaching doctrine, for reproof. That means to show us where we're wrong, for correction, to reorient us, recalibrate us, correct us, bring us back under God's will, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, some churches, it's so hard to find Scripture, and I happen to find this recently. It's like, where is the Word of God? I've been to some churches where it's like, if I sat in this church for 5 years, I would starve to death because of the amount of the Word of God. Now, I believe IBC teaches the Word of God. And so we, as men or women of God, receive the Word of God as authoritative. Now, authority is a bad word in our common vernacular. But in the Word of God, authority is a very good thing. God set up authority. God set up authorities every realm for our protection. Because our sin nature will destroy us and destroy others. We got a couple of truckers in the front row. If there was an authority on the road, it would be bedlam. But you've got your county mounties, and you've got your troopers, and you've got your highway patrol. They make the highway safe. Because there's an authority. And so you can keep on trucking, and you can be safer because of that. Obviously, I like God's angels the best. He sends them forth. The point is, under God's authority, the Word of God is the best place to live your life. And we were at a church when they told me some of the things they told me about what they've learned and how they've studied the Word of God, I thought, they really need some good teaching. And their response showed me they see their need for good teaching. And so we, in our own minds, say, amen. Yes, Lord, I put myself under your teaching, your doctrine, your Word, so that you can have your will in my thoughts, words, and actions for your glory, for my good, and the blessing of those around me. So, just an illustration in this passage that we have right here. As I put myself under the Word of God, I can show, and I only chose God's love because you can't show everything that the Word of God is going to do for you. We could put hope here, we could put peace, we could put mercy, we could put forgiveness, but I put God's love. God's love can flow through me to my family and to fellow believers. Because I put myself under God's Word. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word, energizes me, and gives me that ability. Then, gives me the ability to the lost. To have unconditional love to people who might even hate me. At the Siemens Mission in Alaska, we have a lot of people come to the mission who ask us for things. They want a ride, they want some money, they want their bills paid, they want some food, they want something. And they have been coming, they come with an entitlement mentality. Sometimes my hair just bristles up. It's like they demand from me. Okay, give me patience, sit on me, Lord. I don't want to react to this. Love unconditionally. I can remember a few occasions where the people, I just wanted to say, why don't you just leave? But that's not God's will. So I endured, and I had the opportunity to share the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ because He worked in and through me. Now, I don't always succeed. I fail maybe a little bit less now after 30-some years of walking with the Lord on and off. But still, God's will in our life is going to fully equip me. Look what it says in verse 17. That the man of God, and I'll say the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you've heard this passage many times, but we lived it for 2 weeks in Myanmar. We saw the Word of God help these people. Some of the pastor's comments I'll share in a little bit. So if you're a woman here, it's the same principle. A woman of God, the servant of God, God's child, can be thoroughly equipped, fully equipped for every good work. But, on the other hand, in your mind, between your ears, you can go rogue every day. In your heart of hearts, you can be saying, no, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Or, just passively ignore God. Just do your own thing. Isn't that so natural? I am one of the most independent people I know. That was a dumb statement, I know. But I'm independent by nature. When I was a kid, at 17 years old, I was hitchhiking all over Minnesota. At 18, I was hitchhiking all over the U.S. and Canada, and I was independent. And from that point on, the Lord had to save me at 20 years old, and then He had to make me dependent, or show me my need to become dependent. So every morning, I can wake up and be as independent as anyone. But it's best not to be rogue. That's the word I chose after watching this action-packed CIA agent who was accused of going rogue. We got a rogue agent. We got a rogue servant of God. We got a rogue child of God. I don't want to be a rogue. I don't know about you. I want to be God's child who is walking submissively and obediently, but it's a process to change me. Soon as I cut out the Word of God in my thinking, I'm not saying coming to church. There's people who come to church for years and are saying in their hearts, no, 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 no.
And they're saying to themselves, yes, 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 yes. I know more than the pastor. I know more than the Word of God. I know more than those commentators on Fox News and CNN and CNNBC and everything else. I'm so smart. Yes, yes, yes. That's rogue. I know there's no one here like that. But in my heart, I've been that way before. But as soon as that happens, you're cutting off the source of love, the true agape source of love, hope, peace, joy, all these things. So my appeal to you is to just stay walking with the Lord by faith, and you will grow. Colossians chapter 2 talks about the moment you're born again, you are rooted and you are fixed in Jesus Christ. My responsibility is to walk by faith in Him. He will build me up, passive voice. He will establish me. He will work in my life. I just want to stay walking with Him. So, the big question mark is the last years of our lives. May God's will be done to the very end. Many start strong, but don't end strong. But I'll tell you, there's no better life on earth. No better life than to be walking with our Savior under the authority of His Word and responding by faith to Him. Whether you're here in IBC, whether you're sent to Myanmar, wherever you are, God's will cannot be improved upon. And we learned it in Myanmar this time, only in a practical way, and I'll share a few details in just a moment. But this is the normal Christian life. My position is in Christ. This thing doesn't have a pointer, does it? Oh, yes. Your position in Christ here, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you just stay walking in your perfect position by faith in the Word of God, by faith in your God, speaking, talking with Him, and just one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time, and He provides everything we need. Recently, I was convicted of a little bit of bitterness in my heart, and God says, I don't want a smidgen of bitterness in your heart. So I had to seek to, rid my heart of that bitterness. I forgive that person. I love that person. I pray for that person, Lord. And it's like, wow, that's total freedom. In a practical way. It really works. Can be hope, can be forgiveness, whatever it is. So that was my introduction here. Just in the point of saying that God's Word is worth the investment. And in Myanmar, we saw it in a very practical way. Here's the history you see generally. Duluth Bible Church initiated the investment, and then it was passed on to Itasca Bible Church in late 2014, and the first trip was 2015. And you support Samuel. You support the ministry there. From being there for 16 years and only missing maybe 2 years in 16 years, your investment is well worth every penny. And I think Mike would say amen from our conversations, because it's a direct investment in an individual, and he is being used to invest in other faithful men and so forth. So this is the third trip of Itasca Bible Church. We didn't go in 2016. We went in 15, 17, and now 18. Here's Southeast Asia. Myanmar is near China, between China and India. It's called the Golden Land. This is having coffee one of our mornings overlooking the Irrawaddy River. It starts up in the foothills of the Himalaya Mountains, and it flows down into the India Gulf Ocean here. And we were privileged to be right on it at sunrise there. Here's where we flew into, Mandalay, and we went up to Machina, 150 miles from the border of China. The most northern metropolis or established city, there's Putao, which is a further north, but that's a very small city. So we were as north as you could get in the country and as far to the uttermost parts of the earth in the country that tourists could really go. And just a introduction, 50 million people, 135 distinct tribal languages and groups in this country. It's a cultural melting pot. It's a fascinating place to be. And so we were up there north with the Lisu, which is Samuel, and his wife is Kachin. And through Dorcas, his wife's cousin, is how we ended up with this opportunity. 90%+ Buddhist. They run the country. They run the government. They run the military.
and it's a very established religion, millennials old. It's a birth child from Hinduism. It's basically Hinduism without the caste system. It's a more gentle system than Hinduism. Here they are worshiping at the pagodas. Here they are on the streets. These are the nuns. They shave their heads. Here's the little boys. They're all the way from small children. They're all from lifelong monks to sometimes just a few months. They go as a family sends their child to serve in the monastery. I'll show you just a few pictures of the country. This was the day after Mike left. The elephants were walking right down the side of the street. And so it was quite a interesting. These were some ladies. We're collecting some firewood. They put it up over there. This girl, I think, was 12 years old carrying firewood. These boys, the city, the country is changing. They're on their cell phones now. And that will rapidly change the country. This was right in the corner of the church where we were preaching. Here is about a 4 or 5 inch body of the spider, and each leg was about 6 inches, so I'd say it was about 13, 14 inches across if you spread out the, this was right above our hotel where we were staying. This is outside our hotel. They have commerce on their back with motorcycles, whatever. She carried these at least 2 miles down the road because we got out and got picked up and passed her 2 miles down the road. So this is what they call a hand road, handmade road. There was already an old road there, and they poured out some asphalt tar, and then they put rocks on top, and they spread them out. One carries it, the other one spreads it. She hands the basket back to him. They go back and get some more. This guy is burning the tar in order to spread it out in liquid all day long, sucking in those fumes, huh? Ay, ay, ay. So this was along the road just down from our hotel in Machina. And here they are. They've got their buckets and their boots over there. They're moving to a different location. These were the tar spreaders. Here's the ladies. You can see one's giving her a basket, the other's spreading it. And they had levels and everything and make sure. And then along comes the equipment, but it's a handmade road. And finally, at the end, the asphalt spreader came along. But you can see the shovelers and everything else. Those hats are for protection from the sun, and then they wrap their hair so they don't get dirt and dust in their hair, the ladies. And they're all in flip-flops. No OSHA in Myanmar. This guy was climbing a concrete pole with these metal, whatever they were, and his flip-flops. He was working on the line. They had moved the poles outside so they could widen the road. Amazing. I thought this was at the airport. Smoking kills. Smoking seriously harms you and others around you. So, okay, I'll take 2 cartons, please. Mr. Dentist, we were tempted to go and have our teeth cleaned, but then we thought maybe not. This is pagodas being formed. I think this is the prototype in the front, and they were building in the back. This was about 5 miles from where our hotel was. And there is a Buddha sitting on a snake. How appropriate, eh? Religion. So now I'll share some things about the Kachin churches. We had this opportunity because the Lord opened doors through individuals. We were kind of tapering off as far as our involvement in Myanmar after graduating a grace training center of 30 men and women who we sent out, and we're supporting them, Samuel being our coordinator and translator. And yet 3 years ago, a woman came to the conference that Pastor Sean and Mike and I were at, and she loved the teaching. So when I read this in Acts 14:27, it's God who opens the door. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles or the Kachin churches. When we first started training these men, we wanted to gather from as many different groups as we could and train them so then they could scatter to their own language groups. Well, Samuel is Lisu, and he speaks 6 languages fluently.
And Mike and I are just scratching our heads there because he talks Kachin here, then he turns here and he talks Lisu, then he talks English to us, and he might then go over here and talk another Lao or some other language that he knows. And so it's just fascinating for us to listen to him like that. But Kachin churches were a door open because the Lord used a young lady or a woman to come and hear the teaching through Samuel's wife. And then she went back and told her husband and her pastors and said, we need to have this teaching at our churches. We ended up being able to stay at the most fancy resort in the city because another woman who came to the conference last year, her sister owns this resort, and they arranged for they paid for our housing here at the resort. Very fancy. There's some carved elephants out front. There's Mike on the veranda every morning studying. We are able to eat our breakfast here on the Irrawaddy River. Here's the swimming pool. So we just had a very comfortable existence there in Machina while we were there. I thought this was funny. Dear valued guest, you are cordially not allowed to swim without a swimming suit. I think that's because of the European tourists myself. I don't know. It's not because I was at the resort last year, I'm sure. But I think it's because of the Europeans. Now these hats Mike brought over, and this is the day after Mike left, and he passed these out the day he left and gave it to Samuel. They both put one on. This is Samuel and his wife Dorcas. She's Kachin, he's Lisu. And they just love those hats. And I said, nice hat. They said, everybody wants one. They all are asking about where did we get these nice hats. So I don't know if they think they're dress hats or they're just warm or what, but they loved the hats. This is the husband and wife who coordinated all this. They're Kachin. They're part of the Kachin Biblical Baptist Convention. 70 churches that split from the liberals in 1982. So they went biblical. There's the Kachin Baptist Convention and the Kachin Biblical Baptist Convention. I said, good, we're with the biblical ones. That's good. But anyways, they're dispensational. They have connections with Dallas Theological Seminary way back. They have a Hansen Bible School, and Ola Hansen was sent by Bethlehem Baptist out of Minneapolis in 1870-something. To go over, and he translated the Kachin language into scriptures. So this couple here, Peter and his wife, I have to keep remembering Alin. Anyways, she has been so instrumental by coordinating and encouraging people to get us to come and serve. And so this was an exploratory trip. We weren't sure what to expect, but the Lord blew down the doors, and they loved what we taught. The response was amen and amen, which was very surprising to us, because I was going in thinking they're going to be very critical of what we taught. And Samuel the second day goes, Scott, they really don't know enough to even ask questions of you. So praise the Lord. This was our first night. We got off the airplane that says, you must be hungry. We will take you and feed you. See those hand-carved furniture and things? The craftsmanship in the country is phenomenal. If we could ship back some stuff, it would be great, but it's not economical. But there, it's really cheap. So this is the leadership there, Samuel and Peter and Boomsing Lee, Pastor Boomsing Lee, and myself. Here we're eating rice off of banana leaves. So they wrap up the rice, they put them in banana leaves, keep them hot in a steamer, serve us, and of course the French fries were for the Americans. But we had all sorts of delicacies there to eat. Here's the church name, Mancreen Biblical Baptist Church. This was built in 1992, and the pastors, the kitchen and the fellowship hall is behind, and then the elevated building behind there. Back here is the pastor's quarters right there, Pastor Boomsing Lee. And so this is where we were. I thought they couldn't think of anything better, so they called me a lecturer. This is Pastor Boomsing Lee, And he was very well organized. The thing from a organization standpoint flowed very well. We thank the Lord for that. This was the group picture on the second to the last day, about 104 there approximately. We had over 100 almost every day that were at the, plus the people who were working in the kitchen. And your numbers come and go. They have only had 3-day conferences before this conference. And as the pastor said at the last day when he gives his words, he said, I was really nervous. We'd never had more than a 3-day conference, and we'd never had a biblical book before. It's always topical. And he says, I was really nervous if this would work, but the numbers stayed even or even increased as we went on. And people didn't leave early. It was very, very testimonial that they liked what they heard because they just stuck around and listened. I think there was between 20 and 30 pastors there at any day. Here's having coffee in the morning. You can see they've got their coats on. Some of them have hats on. It was about 65 degrees in the morning and it got up to 85 in the afternoon. Never saw one drop of rain because it's the dry season there. So it was absolutely beautiful weather. Samuel told me we can't name it Romans. He said the pastor was afraid no one would come to the conference. So they said walking according to the Spirit. So they changed the title so that they would make sure that the locals or the pastors would come. So here's the three stooges, the three teachers up there. And so Mike and I did the teaching. I did about 60-70%. Mike did 30-40% depending on the day. And Samuel translated everything but one day when his blood pressure was so high he couldn't even get out of bed. So he sometimes had some high blood pressure. His father had a stroke, even younger than Samuel is today, and was paralyzed on his entire side. So if you want to pray physically for Samuel, it would be for his blood pressure and his health there. So this is the layout. We were up on the stage up there. Sometimes we had our shoes on, sometimes we had our shoes off. This was a question and answer session. That's why Mike and I were up on the stage together. And there's our fearless translator, Samuel, all day long. Then he translates during lunch. Then he translates afterwards. Then he goes home and he shares at home around the campfire. Had a lot of strength. And we really appreciate, have known him for 16 years and a very faithful servant of God. Very, very acutely aware of the Word of God, too. Here's our typical day. The place was pretty much packed out. We were being recorded by, I think, 3 different cameras and cell phones all day long. And then they would take pictures of us. And there's an idea of what we did. And we tried to take advantage of visual aids, whiteboards, PowerPoints and illustrations to enlighten the Word of God. But if you've never been through Romans 1-8 before, it is on the Duluth Bible Church website. If you wanted to go through it, you could look through it. I don't know the last time Pastor Shah has gone through it, but it's a powerful study. And when you do it in 10 days straight, these people went from Boom Sang Lee, first day he's back there in his seat like this, and by the afternoon of the second day, he's got his cell phone up there on a tripod recording everything, and he's leaning into his Bible. That's a good response. He was very favorable. And here, Mike didn't get up in time to take his robe off, and so he taught in his robe. Actually, that's the robe of righteousness. And he was illustrating there and teaching in Romans chapter 4, I believe it was. And so he and I tandemly taught. Here is one of the cameras. This man was a part of the church. He was our technical guy with the microphones and everything. And he was recording every message there for their use. So we're thankful that it's reproduced and it can go on. Afterwards, they would come up and take pictures of the illustrations and ask questions and so forth. Here I am teaching, again, with the whiteboard. You could draw it out. You could keep it up there. It was very powerful. And then with the PowerPoint, it was hard because in 2002, when I first started going, there was no electricity. The government was ruled by the military, and since they've now got a parliamentary system since 2011, the power has come along, and the government was selling it all to China, the military, and making buko bucks, and the officers were becoming filthy rich. And Parliament has now distributed some things. They're building roads. They're doing things that they've never done before. The first elections were 2010, 2011. They had a Parliament system, and so the freedoms are coming, but also crime is up, and all the use of cell phones and those types of things are increasing. So here we are there. This is what we tried to do to visually bring alive the Word of God. You can see there Romans chapter 5. There's Romans chapter 5, 12 through 21. In Adam, in Christ, all the different. There's also Romans, 1 Corinthians 2:14 to 3:4, which is the natural, spiritual, and carnal man. And so there's family fellowship, the 10 things you can lose if you're carnal. Here was an illustration we used over and over again. Sin nature is screaming out to you like a drill sergeant. The world is tantalizing you with temptations, but we died with Christ, so we have the victory. Romans 6. You've been baptized with Christ, you've been raised with Christ, reckon yourself to be alive unto God and dead to the sin nature, dead to the world. And so this was our faith walk in new life victory. These are things that they have never seen before. One pastor, our driver, kept saying, I never understood this out of Romans before. I just skip over it. Here's an illustration. I'm not even sure what it was. I think it was when you die and you're in your deathbed, what are you going to be thinking? I'm not sure. Here's the Word of God's got to be on your thinking. You need the gospel with you wherever you go. This is illustration. How does God see things? And Samuel's explaining it. And we just tried to make it as real as we could. And the fair diagram, the John 3:16 diagram, they loved it. They loved it. Pastor La Wom, which was our taxi driver, he said, I've never seen a gospel illustration like this. This is the best. He says, I'm going to learn it, because that's what he kept telling him. You've got to learn this. You've got to practice it. He says, I'm going to learn it and practice it, and then I'm going to teach my whole church. So praise the Lord. So we did it with PowerPoint. Then we did it with whiteboard. Mike taught it. Samuel illustrated it. He told how valuable it was. Then we had them writing it out. They had to write it out for 3 days straight, I think it was. And then this was the last Sunday before I left. I taught the main service. This was the early Bible study. And one of the students taught it to the whole church during their Bible study. That is Lisu language. They never had a written language until J.O. Frazier and Isabel and John Kuhn came over and develop the language. Here's Wusa, that's God. Wusa, Jesu is Jesus. Reichi, that's grace. Fui, that is sin. And so Jesus Christ died and raised again, John 3:16. Yo, that's John. Yo! So this is what's happening. And you know what? When I have worked with so many people around the world in Seward, Alaska, and gone over here, the Word of God is culturally non-distinct. In other words, it crosses all cultural barriers. It is principled, and when applied, it brings great blessing. It brings great reward. And so here we have the Lisu language. In fact, there's an illustration here. I'm not sure how soon it is, but it illustrates the fact that we were translated twice when we were at 8 Mile Bible Church. So I'm just going to make an appeal here to you. If you've never believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, the message of the gospel is so simple. We're all sinners. We all deserve God's judgment in hell under the wrath of God. But the moment we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. We're given His righteousness. We're given eternal life. We become His child. It's all the gift of God. It's by grace. And we don't add works. We simply believe or receive the message of the gospel. And so I appeal to you today, if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I invite you or encourage you to believe on Him as your Savior. Now, this man is our... I forgot to check this. But this man was given testimony about
third day or fourth day, and he said, All I do is give commands to my church. He says, I hardly teach them anything. I am so ashamed. I'm going to go back and change my teaching. And so Mike interviewed him, and I'm not sure if this is going to come out or not, but I forgot to have that, check that with. Do we have a voice on that, Ross? How do I turn it up here?
He's asking him how far away, 200 miles away he came to this. Now he's going to, Mike asks him, did you, that's his response. I'm loved.
Can you tell me something you learned from the conference you did not know
Better to share the gospel with visual aids. I don't know, can you hear it? Is it? This is Moshi, our translator. So it was just really encouraging, the response. You could see this is just one of a number of them that shared with us. This was the leadership and a few extras there at the end. This individual here is our taxi driver, Pastor Lawom. And he said again about the gospel booklet, and he also made the statement, I used to read Romans and I get to chapter 6 and 7. It didn't make any sense, so I just skip right over it. So now he says, I really understand it and I'm going to go teach it. Imagine, you don't understand Romans 6 and 7. Again, this was at the awards they gave us. They're laughing because they stood on the upper one to be level with us on the lower one. Here they took care of us in food. There's our hamburgers. For 2 days they said, you want hamburgers? You want hamburgers? Sure. When we got hamburgers, we had the most beautiful bun, and inside was an egg and a piece of cheese and a tomato. Where's the beef? Someone must have said something, because 2 days later we got the beef in the buns. But this is the gal who served us right next to me in the gray. She was very faithful. She was our basically table servant. The other one was in charge of the cooking. She was there a year ago. It's her sister who owns the resort. So she made arrangements for basically, she also gave testimony and made arrangements for all the food and everything. Oh, there's our Myanmar pizza too, by the way. There's the ladies cooking there in the kitchen outside, which has no walls. It's just outside there. There they are chopping with those cleavers. They bought a whole pig, and they were cutting it up and getting it ready for dinner. There's some of the pig. And the dog knew better. Don't you mess with that food. Those ladies would take care of them. But they were everywhere. The dogs wander through the church while you're preaching and things. It's just a little different world. Everything was cooked on these kettles right here, either in the big frying pans, or the rice is there, the first kettle in water, so it kept it from burning, but it just kept boiling. So amazing. Over 120 people every day they were feeding, and that's what we ended up eating. And they just pushed it on us, and we couldn't eat any more most of the time. We mentioned one time, yeah, we kind of like cucumbers and tomatoes, and that's what we started to get every day. And so this is cordon bleu chicken, and came from the resort or the restaurant at the Palm Springs. And this is the leadership from all the association. These are the big shots, and they were literally begging us to come back next year. And so with Pastor Sean discussion and the board here and the leadership, we'll decide about next year. But the door is wide open. These are the leaders of the entire association, and they wanted to know if we were available, which days, how long, how many times next year. I said, whoa, we'll pray about this, and we would like to come back. Now, this is Samuel outside of his house having fellowship with the people who came. These are not people from the Kachin Biblical Baptist Convention. These were people that Samuel was in contact with and invited to come to this conference. Some traveled as far as from across the country, from Yangon, they came up, and others were as far as 500 miles away in Mugook. And so they came and they sat and they listened, and then each night they would discuss it and Samuel would teach a little bit more. Several of these stayed for a week afterwards to get more instruction from Samuel. Here's on Sunday morning, Mike taught at the downtown Kachin Biblical Baptist Church. There you can't see it, but his message was by grace through faith, Ephesians chapter 2. Here was at a boarding school that I gave the gospel, shared the gospel there in one diagram. These are 14 to 17-year-olds, and I would speak in English, and then Samuel translated. We drew out the gospel there for them. We were invited. This was at this 8 Mile Bible Church, which is Samuel's church, and actually five of the men from our Grace Training Center are the leaders at that church, and they have no walls. It's just a piece of tin that goes over. In the rainy season, it's kind of damp, and in the dry season, it's hot. They've got some fans, and there's our gift from them, the vests. Those are Lisu vests. Here's the pastor, Pastor Elia, his wife, and his granddaughter there. And he's been a fighter for the gospel for a long time, came out of the mountains. So here's the church there. This is not Sunday morning. This was just Friday after the conference. They came and listened to Mike teach, and a number of individuals. There's our illustration. There's Burmese Lisu language. So I spoke English, translated into Lisu, and then translated into Burmese. There's the ladies in the back are the widows. They're the ones who prepared all the food. And Moshe, Elia, Samuel, and some others. This man here was a leader in the church. He had just come back from the mountains. His relative got kicked out
of the church in the mountains because he was teaching grace. And there's only 50 families in two villages adjacent with one church. They got kicked out of the church. Three families got kicked out of the church because they took a stand. They had come down to 8 Mile Bible Church for 2 weeks, learned all these things, went back so excited, and the people said, "We'll have none of this." They're lordshippers, Calvinists, and they said, "No way, you're not going to teach that." And so they didn't like grace, and now they're praying. If you want to pray for those mountain families, they're not sure what they should do, if they should start a church, move down to Machina, or what they should do. This is Samuel's father and mother. They're in their early 80s. This is at Samuel's home. He has nothing fancy. His home is very, very simple, primitive. This was a graduate. He's using three tenses of salvation diagram. He's actually come to the U.S. and taught at Burmese churches in the U.S. This is Amit and his wife. And so this was the day after Mike left. We went to the Irrawaddy River and relaxed a little bit on a picnic. This is up in the mountains. There's people who had never been there before. It's 20 miles from the city, and they've lived there for 30 years. They've never been up there before, and that's kind of how they look at recreation. And so we got to go up and observe that. Here's Samuel saying goodbye, and Dorcas at the airport. And so all in all, it was a very, very worthwhile investment. Like I said, we didn't know how they would respond, but they were very eager to receive it, and they want us to come back. And Samuel has been invited by 6 churches in town to do conferences from this. But he says nobody has set a time or a date, so that's another thing, which was good because it raised Samuel up in their eyes. Kachin are a higher tribe, so they normally look down at the Lisu. So this Kachin Biblical Baptist Church, Samuel was raised up because of this conference in their eyes and said, basically, it's worthwhile for us to use Samuel at our churches. And so a lot of different things came out of this trip. So I thank the Lord. Then I went down to Yangon, and this is Solin Tet, who is one of our good students in the Grace Training Center. He married this woman. They have built and put together a church, and now they have a training center out of it. And so he's down in Yangon, and they want us to teach there next time too. But that's all, again, in prayer and God's will directing. Sean asked me just to share a few things. I saw all your pictures out there about Alaska Ministries, and thank you for your prayers, your support for the Alaska Fair evangelism. It's been pretty phenomenal to see the Lord opening doors. And we last summer shook hands with people from between 60 and 70 nations. Over 10,000 people came to the missions last year and rode our vans and interacted with us. We think about 300 from 25 different nations, between 200 and 300, trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We worked with the fellowships on board. The number of ships and the number of people coming to Alaska are growing. It's a huge market for cruise ships. They're expanding. They're bringing in bigger ships, more companies. So please keep us in prayer if you remember, because there's some new challenges coming in the upcoming season. So we minister out of Seward mainly. That's where Beth and I live, and Whittier and Anchorage. And the ships come up the east coast of Alaska, shoot across the Gulf, and they disembark their passengers in the morning. Then they're free for some of the day, and then we serve them. They come to the mission, and we usually have a church service at least once a day, sometimes twice, sometimes on the ship and off the ship. But normally it's just once a day. And these cruise ships are anywhere from 100 crew members to just short of 2,000 crew members on the ship and almost 4,000 passengers. So they almost double the population of the entire city of Seward when they pull into port. This is Elmer in the middle. He was the fellowship leader. I've known him for 5 years. He very much received our teaching and our instruction, and he was calibrated with grace and the gospel. And this is Jeanette. She and her husband, Joe, are the originators of the Alaska Seamen's Mission, and she's been doing it for over 30 years. And so they're a very vital part of the ministry there in Alaska. Here is a home away from home. That's what we try. We serve in godly sincerity and in simplicity. So we keep it simple, but we want to have the genuine love of God and the people respond. These men are night workers, so they've been working all night long. They get off the ship at 7:30. They go to the grocery store. By 8:30, they're at the mission, and they're cooking in the mission and they're barbecuing in the back. And they did that, I don't know, six times, I think. So 12, over a period of 12 weeks. They were there because each ship comes every 2 weeks. It's a week down to Vancouver, a week back. So we see them every 2 weeks. These men would cook, and then lots of the crew members would come and eat there. Our goal is personal contact. Any way we can interact with them. Personal witness of the gospel. If the Lord opens up a door, share the Bible. Church services. Materials. We seek to gather materials and pass them out. And physical needs. So we're working all of these, and the Lord has been very faithful, and we're quite amazed at some of the impact around the world. This is on the, I mixed up here, but the Indian leader here, Walter, he led the Bible study. This is a Kenyan assistant. He was a sous chef. This man, I forget his name, he was a heavy drinker on board, needed the gospel, he got saved. This was a lifeguard, Cassandra led him to the Lord. This is right in the middle of the ship there in the crew mess. We're interacting. This ship, the Radiance, I'm able to go to the galley. So these are all the chefs on board. And we would go up there at 4:45 and taste all the food and interact with them. We got to share the gospel several times. The cook on the head chef, executive chef, he's from Anchorage. And he opened up the door wide for us. He's not a believer in Christ, but I've shared the gospel with him a couple of times. It was my birthday. They made a special cake for me. It was very precious. This gal gives out hand sanitizer. And here's Cassandra Delgado. She's from Milwaukee. She's been up there the last two summers, Word of Grace. And she ministers to the ladies. She speaks fluent Spanish. This is a Filipina, and we were just interacting with her there in the main area where the guests eat on the top deck. Here's what they feel like, a home away from home. They just kick back. They've got their tablets. We're feeding them cookies and coffee. Here's our church service there. You'll see there's always somebody who's on their phone even during the church service. It's just the way it is. They're trying to connect. They'll be singing sometimes. Otherwise, they're just enjoying it. And then sometimes they put their phone away when I start preaching. There's Linnea. These were professional musicians there. These men, they're part of the band. They were part of the fellowship on board. And so they would come to the mission during the day because the band members had nothing to do all day long. And they would come, and Linnea was very valuable with her music background and her personality. And then Dane is from Duluth. He also was able to be used of the Lord. We just had a really enjoyable time there. Here's some food that Lena, she's from Indonesia. So she speaks Indonesian. Cassandra speaks Spanish fluently. We just had a multicultural volunteers this summer. And when we fed them, they loved it, especially when it was ethnic food. Or a lot of times they would cook. These are the man in the middle here. This ministry took place at the mission. I never did get his name. He was the manager of the shops. These three work under him. These three trusted Christ as their Savior. These are materials to study. Of course, there's my wife. This is Jen Parcham. She's from Milwaukee area. And this guy, I don't think he got saved, but he was influenced. And the Lord was just very faithful. So the same verses we started out with, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done in Seward, Alaska, and how He had opened up the door of faith unto the seafarers. So just want to say thank you for your prayers, your support. The Alaska Fair, we're excited about what's going to happen this year, how the Lord's going to open up a door there. And thank you for your support. And again, it has been very worthwhile to go to Myanmar over the years. And this appears in my experience in Myanmar that the door has started to open wide.
and they want us to come back. And I think next year, if we go back, there's going to be a lot more pastors because word's going to get out. They're going to say it was very valuable. And so they're asking us to come back at the end of October, beginning of November next year. So if you would keep that in prayer and wisdom and so forth. And I don't know what else to say, Pastor. Okay, good. Pray and we'll call it good. Heavenly Father, we just want to come to your throne, your high and lofty throne of grace. Your words, your ways, your thoughts are as high as the heavens above ours. And we just want to submit to you, put ourselves under your authority, because you provide grace and mercy to help in our time of need. And as we look in our rearview mirror of life, you have been faithful. We are always the unfaithful ones. Thank you for your faithfulness in Myanmar this trip. Thank you for opening doors. Thank you even when Samuel was sick that Moshe could step up. Thank you for Mike and his willingness to come and to go, and for Tammy's support back home. Thanks for Beth and her support. Thank you, Lord, for the IBC believers and leadership here. May we again continue to strive together for the faith of the gospel, for the preaching of Jesus Christ, for the preaching of your word as you direct our paths, as you open and close doors. And again, Lord, just it appears that this Kachin Biblical Baptist Association Conference is just desirous of teaching, and they're responding to your word. And so we just pray that you would lead there specifically as we even discuss the future, and as you work on the ground there with Samuel and here in Minnesota and even in Alaska. Thanks for what you've done in Alaska. Thanks for the fair. We ask that you would open up a door there on one of the pathways that is very perfect for sharing the gospel, and you'd work in Pamela's heart, that she would give us a booth there that would be very beneficial and very perfect for sharing the gospel. And so we want to just lay that at your throne and in your hands. Thanks again for Pastor Sean and the leadership here. Pray for their wisdom. Pray for their decisions in regards to the Myanmar ministry. And thank you for the saints that have been faithful and supportive. Ask, Lord, that you would even direct, as we talked about this upcoming Christmas season, that here through the church, through the choir, through the Sunday school program, through the nursing homes, that Jesus Christ could be magnified and your message of the gospel could go forth. So, Lord, for your honor and glory, for our reward and blessing to others, may we stay connected, not go rogue.